Cape Talk. The lines are always open. Join the conversation on 021-446-0567.
Do you think the teaching profession is under threat? What are some of the things that we are doing wrong in our schools that we find ourselves in this situation where there's so many bad incidences coming out of our schools? And what can we do to change the status quo? Tandi in Wynberg, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. For me, I basically think that the biggest mistake that a current ANC government did was to cancel or scrap the teacher college. You know, remember the teacher training college? Yeah, those one gave the best dedicated and professional training to the teachers, holistic training. So I think right now they're not professionally trained to or well equipped, to deal with the day-to-day challenges that come with dealing with the kids and all, because children come from different backgrounds and all of that. So the training that they're getting right now is watered down. So I think we need professional teaching. Yeah.
Tandi, thank you so much. That's Tandi in Wynberg. And just talking to that, I remember I've got so many cousins that are teachers. And I remember they used to go to, I don't know what you call it in English, but isiXhosa, esinaleni, kwano college. That's where they were. There was proper training, Baba. I remember just tagging along as a kid. They went to Kwano College. They used to call it Kwano College. I don't know what they call it in English. Please help. If you know what they called it, was it college? Normal college? Maybe it was. Apiwe, Kwalanga, let's have a conversation.
Hi, how are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. What's on your mind, Apiwe?
I'm good, thank you. Teaching right now is very important. And I think we do need the qualified teachers, the professional teachers. Yes, we see that there's colleges that closed in the Eastern Cape, but really it's too bad because the kids are now in that position that they didn't know what to do because of the NSFAS. And then it's a problem because even the teachers now are sitting at home, they doing nothing, and on the other side, they have the families that they need to feed. So I think, yes, they are on the threat on the other side.
Thank you so much, Apiwe Kwalanga. Be part of the conversation. Also, would love to hear from you. 021-446-0567. The conversation is that, we were having a conversation with Basil, who is the president of NAPTOSA, talking about the fact that we are 2 months into the 2019 academic year. And in that short space of time, there's been several stories that have made headlines with incidences taking place inside the classroom. So we want to find out from you, where are we going wrong in our schools and what can we do to change the status quo? And I mean, with the conversation we had with Basil, it was also not just about the teaching and the training, but also the support that needs to be there for both the student and the teacher.
Your call for ABS now on 021-446-0567.
Looking into the desperate situation in the classrooms of our schools, as you've heard, Pippa Hudson is also continuing the conversation around our schools. Do you think the teaching profession is under threat? Where are we going wrong in our schools? And what can we do to change the status quo? Jason and Lisa, we see you given in the CBD. Let's have your say.
Yes, morning. My take is that the teaching profession is under threat because the government keeps on changing the curriculum all the time. And when they change the curriculum, there's no retraining of teachers. So that's why you find out that the teachers actually end up leaving the teaching profession. And the other problem that I think is very important to take into consideration too is the issue of SATU. SATU seems to be the one that is, it seems as if the department is reporting to SATU. SATU seems to be ruling the department. So the politicization of education should stop if we were to address the issue of teachers in South Africa.
Right. So stop politicizing education if we are to overcome. Thank you so much. That is given in the CBD. Jason in Somerset West, what's your take?
Good morning, Evs. It's just basically that you know what? I agree with what you said and the lady that spoke earlier on. It seems like in this country we have this tendency of fixing a problem that doesn't need fixing. Like you guys mentioned earlier on, it's about universities and so on, where the teachers would be able then to learn and skills would then be transferred. So what I think is we just need to go back to the days where, you know, the more experienced teachers would then, you know, get these new teachers' feet wet so that they can then go into the learning environment and then be able to transfer skills properly instead of what is currently happening. That's why we're facing all these problems. Because I feel like whenever things are going good and then the government just tries to change it to make it much more easier, and it seems to fail all the time.
Thank you so much, Jason in Somerset West. Jason saying, you know what? Let those that have been there, that have experienced it, teach those that are coming into the qualification. So dare I ask, I mean, I'll use my mother as an example. She's a retired teacher. She's got all the wealth of experience when it comes to sub A and B. So do you then take her and then put her into a classroom with a younger teacher, maybe hoping that there'll be experience learned from that? Is that something we can look into? Lisa in Worcester, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, basically, I'll be short and sweet. I do agree with the two previous callers because the syllabus keeps on changing. And now, because of job scarcity, and there was just a huge space where teachers were just offered, well, if you wanted to study and then you're offered a bursary, you understand you're well taken care of, it's a short course you'll be in. And people don't really have the love to actually do that because you need a lot of patience to deal with the youngsters. You know, I don't know whether maybe putting a mature age group into teaching learners will be actually suitable, but the government doesn't really do much because all he does, he gives away smart boards and everything. Where is the syllabus changes? How is that going to benefit the kids? Because, and then afterwards, he says passing with 30% is good. Don't you think me as a teacher coming to class, like, anyway, they can pass with 30%. Do you think I'll really put more effort? Mm. And then they get, what you call, technology and Wi-Fi to access just answers from Google. So I don't really think the government really cares about that because the teacher can just have a textbook. They don't even prepare. They open the textbook and then they'll read in class. And then the learner just Googles fast and gets the answer. I'm like, yeah, man, that's the answer. Because you get teachers failing to actually explain step by step of how to solve a mathematical equation. You know, they just take it from the textbook. Other than that, they know nothing, you understand?
All
so
right.
Maybe they should employ a bigger age group, and the president should just stop handing out tablets. What are they for?
Lisa, it was to thank you so much for your call. To you listening at home, be part of the conversation. Coming in on the SMS line, Paul, we see you on that line. Coming in on the SMS line, it says, Abs, discipline should start at home. A teacher should not have to discipline a child. I do not condone hitting children at all. I think parents should ultimately take some of the responsibility for their children's behavior. Teaching is a tough job. People think of teachers as having a lot of holidays, but try standing in front of a class all day. It's exhausting. That is from Michael. Michael, and not just standing in front of the class, having to teach discipline to some level. Also the marking that comes with it. Also, you know, following the student's progression. It's a difficult profession. 10 minutes now before we get to 6 o'clock. So we're not just talking about teaching on the show. We are also talking about your expectation on the minister's budget speech tomorrow. Paul in Clement, what's your take?
Yes, morning. I heard an economic expert alluding to the budget this morning, and I'm no economic expert or profess to be, but I'm pretty much echoing the sentiments. I think the biggest fear for all of us is another bailout package for Eskom or SAA. How will it be funded by the fiscal budget? Back to the taxpayer, one has to assume, unfortunately, but we all know the underlying causes of the SAH mess, so throwing money at them is certainly not the answer. But the country's current budget deficit was also mentioned. That, to me, will be very interesting to hear about. But for me, is how Minister Mboweni is going to use the budget to help restore confidence in our economy, because economic stability is obviously the major criteria to establish confidence in our economy and boost direct investment. So my feeling is, again, Minister Mboweni has to wear a national hat and try to take off his ANC hat and not use the budget as an electioneering platform to try and paint some pretty pictures.
I do hope, Paul, that also, as Lulu mentioned, that there won't be any talk of increasing any taxes this year. Paul, thank you so much for your call. Paul in Clement, just once again taking Moniba and Mitchell's plane. Moniba, good morning. You want to talk about teachers?
Yes, I just wanted to say that, you know, the profession, we've got to, the government has to step up and support it, because we've got a lot of dedicated teachers there, and they have to be supported. We cannot have a situation where one teacher is teaching 70 children, as was in the beginning of the year. I hope it has been sorted out.
Thank you so much for that, Muneeba. And just to confirm with you, Pippa Hudson is continuing with this conversation around education between the hours of 6 and 9. And a reminder to you listening at home, by the way, that we've also been talking about child maintenance. If you don't know the story, the Herald is reporting that a father has had more than 300,000 rands taken from his pension fund for arrears in maintenance. And so we want to ask you, why are parents not paying their child support? Are you paying your child support? If not, what's the reason for that? And also, is your child's father or mother paying their child support? If not, what are some of the steps that you are taking?
Morning, Abs. I don't know how a father or a parent cannot pay maintenance for their child. That's unthought of. I pay mine every month early before I do anything else. The most important person in my life is that child. No, I can't fathom the idea how they cannot pay.
It's one of those things where you ask yourself, why should you even be forced? Why should there even be a conversation around this? It's your child. Take care of yours.